now for Stroman on Sports, joined on the phone by Dr. Debbie Stroman, the host of If You Only Knew, right here on 97.9 The Hill. And we're going to be talking about Tar Heel sports heading into the fall season, a very uncertain fall season, obviously, where we really don't know exactly how COVID-19 is going to go for the next few months. But teams and athletic programs and schools and the whole college athletics world in general are having to prepare anyway, and that includes volunteer workouts, which are starting up next month for some teams, one way or the other. Sports is happening, although we're still not sure what the future is going to bring. Debbie, thank you so much for being with us today. What is your take on this? There's a lot of directions we could go with this.
Absolutely. I think one thing for sure is that we're seeing UNC athletics being caught up in the bigger decision-making around what happens with college sports. And that's rightfully so, because we are very good members of the NCAA, of the Power Five, of the Atlantic Coast Conference. And also, we are a public institution that is really in the hands of, you know, the Board of Governors, the Board of Trustees. So there's a lot to this. But one thing, though, by the NCAA saying that now there can be voluntary workouts, which are led by the athletes, that's important, which are led by the athletes, that is a confidence booster for a lot of young people across the country. So we'll see how this plays out, because, again, we are under the mandate of local and state laws around what we can and cannot do under COVID-19.
So with that in mind, and that raises a really good point that I hadn't even thought of before, how much actual control over this does Bubba Cunningham have as athletic director? How much control do individual coaches have over what their teams will or won't be doing?
Well, Aaron, you know I've always been a straight shooter on this, but clearly this is a time period where you see the elevation of power of the football coach and the men's basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
Even though women's basketball has been given approval as well, we know that women's basketball is still not a revenue sport at 99.99% of the programs out there, but also there are a lot of equity issues with women's sports. So with that being said, in particular for our school, this is where Mac Brown is really running things for his program, and Coach Roy Williams is running things for his program. Bubba is certainly there to advise, to provide counsel, to make sure that compliance is doing what they're supposed to do. But, you know, having been a former D1 athlete and a coach at Carolina, I know that it is really, really important for your coaching staff to be connected to the players and making sure that they are doing the right things. Because, you know, Bubba by himself, and certainly he doesn't have the staff, the number of people that would be necessary to make sure you are actually watching and observing and following all that's going on. Even though we're in a moderate-sized college town, still, you just can't be everywhere. And so you really have to be trustful that you hired the right coaches, and those coaches are going to do the right things by their athletes and the program.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman, and again, with all of this uncertainty heading into the fall, that uncertainty isn't really going to go away anytime soon. Even right now, I don't necessarily know what the situation's even going to be like a week from now, and I'm sure that's going to be the case in September and October, too, as we get into what ordinarily would be the fall sports season. What I'm thinking of right now is Vincent Price of Duke back in March, which was, I think, 27 years ago at this point. It was Vincent Price who really started the dominoes falling, if I'm remembering right, in terms of the ACC tournament getting canceled and then ultimately the NCAA tournament getting canceled, by stepping in and saying, we are not going to play. We are a major, in this case, a major basketball school. We're a contender for the conference title, contender for the national championship, and I'm not comfortable sending my teams to play right now. And that leads me to ask, and I don't know what the answer to this question is, who's going to have more power in terms of setting the dominoes going in the fall? Is it going to be the university president or the coach or the athletic director who says, you know what, we're not going to play, I'm not comfortable sending my players out there? Or is it going to be the coach and the athletic director and the university president who says, you know what, we're going to go ahead and we are going to play. Who is ultimately going to wield the power in terms of deciding how this is going to go?
Well, this is definitely about economics and money, mm-hmm. and who understands the program best. So in the old days, the athletic director was usually the former head football coach. And so that person in that role understood what needs to happen to have a successful football program, which again pays the bills. So today you have a lot of lawyers that are athletic directors. You have chancellors and presidents who aren't very understanding of what it really takes to run a big time sports program. And again, no disrespect to these people. It's just that there's so much to do and to learn to be successful, to move up in administration, that you can't be an expert in all these areas, and certainly not Division I Power 5 sports. And so I think this is where the voice of the head coach, especially if they are influential in their town, in their community, in the state, as in they've been there for a number of years, and they have donors, they have alumni that are going to push their agenda as well. But I think the voice of the coach is really, really important right now. They have the ears of trustees. They have the ears of board of governors, people who make these political decisions. But the bottom line, we all have to look towards the health and safety of the athletes. And we know the athletes aren't going to be able to do much if the students aren't able to do much. As in, even though you feel that you can put together a program that will compete, if the students aren't in a situation where they are enrolled as full-time students, then you can't elevate the athlete above that, above those guidelines. And so I would say it's a blend, but there's no doubt the voice of the big-time coaches will have a big, big say in this and what's going to happen. And, of course, in the ideal program, you want everybody to be on good terms, as in the athletic directors is on good terms with the football coach, with the men's basketball coach, and also, you know, women's basketball and the other programs. And hopefully those people are on good accord with those who actually run the entire state system and the people in Raleigh. So it's all I can say is that the coaches are going to have a big say in this, but the people who actually, you know, have the vote, the people that will get a microphone in front of them and they have to speak to this, that's going to be your administrators and politicians. But don't underestimate the power of the coaches at this time.
Speaking with Dr. Debbie Stroman and sticking on the coaches, if you are a coach right now in that position, whether it's men's basketball or football or women's basketball or one of the kind of the higher profile sports, I guess my question is, how much do you take into consideration the opinions of the players? Are you taking the lead in looking at the situation and looking at the metrics and making the decision on behalf of the team, or are you going to the players and saying, what do you think? I will follow your lead.
Well, football is so much different than men's and women's basketball because mm-hmm. you have such a large number of athletes that you're managing and caring for. You know, 85 scholarship football players, D1. And so this is where the importance of the captain is critical mm-hmm. and your assistant coaches. Because in football, you've got position coaches. And most of these athletes, and, you know, in a regular home game or whatever, you're talking about 100 and 110 players that you're managing. But they don't get very close to the head coach. It's that rare head coach that actually knows the names of all of their players and knows how they've developed. Generally, the offensive and defensive coordinators and the position coaches are the ones who actually know a small cohort, and they know them very, very well. Their parents, they know, you know, what they need to eat. They know what they're learning in terms of the game. And so you have to pay attention to what the captains are saying about the players. You have to pay attention and listen to your assistant coaches. And so that is bubbling up to a very good, strong, successful head coach is a great listener. And they're taking in all the information. You're listening to the captains in terms of who is struggling right now. And this time more than ever, we're talking about the mental health of athletes and how they're handling not being close to their teammates and to their coaches. This is their world, and it's been put on pause, if not hold. Are they doing the things like not sitting up and watching, you know, Netflix all day and going to fast food restaurants? because these are young, you know, 17, 21-year-old young people who oftentimes don't make the best decisions in terms of their performance and what they need. I'm reminded of the time I was invited as a guest coach for UNC football, and you get to watch the practice, and then you have a meal with them in the training room. And, you know, I walked in, and I was excited to meet my players who had invited me, and I saw some of them, some of the players, and I think it was a group of them, at least 10 or 15 of them. They were leaving the training table to go eat at the Wendy's on campus. And I stopped them. I said, you've got this amazing spread of nutritional food labeled by colors and what you need for your body, all types of beverages that are healthy and nutritious. And they said, no, we want a Wendy burger. And I was amazed, but yet it reminded me of that they're still young people. Even though you can offer them the best strength and conditioning program, equipment, you know, all of that, they have the things that they want to do as young people. And so we have to manage that. We have to listen to that. And we have to make sure that they are comfortable in this environment, as in going to the next level.
We got to wrap up for now, but this conversation is going to keep going for some time as we get into the summer. So we'll keep it up over the coming weeks. Dr. Debbie Strohman, host of If You Only Knew, right here on 97.9 The Heel. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you.